all of this is the display of the unborn. So what that means for us as ordinary mortals is that we're the display of the unborn. We're the display of our unborn awareness. But you see, if we think that our awareness is dependent on the body, that's our first error in perception. That's our first error in perception, believing that awareness is dependent on the body. The body is dependent on awareness. Do you see the distinction? The body is dependent on awareness, not awareness on the body. So to come to terms with ourselves as the unborn, we need to get to know that awareness that is primary in every perception, not only the perception of the body, but all perceptions. So whenever we hear an illustration of the marriage of opposites, the union of opposites, like Shiva and Shakti, or samsara and nirvana, whatever it might be, this is what we're talking about. This is the initial perception that must be corrected. We are awareness, and our perception of a body depends on that awareness. Without the body, awareness will still be. So, you know, I'm making a big point of this morning because I don't look at it in a casual way at all. All of humankind depends upon correcting this perception right now. We depend on, our future depends on correcting this perception. We've played out this much of human evolution, taking ourselves to be bodies, and that we have awareness that it's somewhere within our body. We really don't know where it is. And then with this awareness that we really know very little about, we're able to do things in the world. But we don't even really think about how we're able to do the things we do. We depend upon the perceptions of others largely. So we hear that we have a body and it has a physiology and it has a neurology and it has a psychology and it has an intellectual life and it has emotions and it has sensations and all of that, and that's who most of us take ourselves to be. And when we take ourselves to be only that, then we limit our entire existence to what we take ourselves to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? We limit our entire existence to what we perceive is going on within here. And all of this we base upon what we hear from others. So we adopt conventional norms, and then we say, well, I'm that too. That's what everyone else takes themselves to be. I take myself to be that too. And we don't do it out in an intentional way. We just do it because everyone else is doing it. And you know, human beings, we're social animals, so we like to fit in to one degree or another. But we have to ask ourselves today, what do we want to fit into? Do we want to continue to fit into a superstitious existence based on what everyone else is taking themselves to be? Or do we really want to come face to face with the reality of what we are? face to face with the reality of what we are in an unborn, unbridled way. That means that we don't have any characteristics. We don't have any preconceived notion of what we are. We just simply know we are awareness, and we're going to get to know ourselves as awareness. And then based upon our knowing ourselves as awareness, we'll learn about everything else. Then we'll check out all these perceptions and see what we really think of them. But because if we continue to operate within conventional norms, and when I say conventional norms, I mean the things we ourselves take ourselves to be, what our family takes us to be, what our community takes us to be, what our world and its institutions take us to be. So we have to let go of all those superstitions and just know ourselves as awareness, then looking at all these things we've taken ourselves to be. Then we can truly decide which ones we want to participate in and which ones will be helpful. But see, we don't even have the elementary discernment or discrimination to do that unless we first know ourselves as awareness. And knowing ourselves as awareness rather than being some kind of magical mystery tour, as it's often made out to be, is very straightforward and within our grasp. So that's another thing that we need to know. It's not something remote or distant or just for special people. It's the birthright of everyone. And it's entirely up to us to be that. It's not up to anyone else to do something to us so that we are that. It's up to us to be that. Just as we trained ourselves to have the erroneous perception that we are a body and that awareness depends on that body, we need to train ourselves that we are awareness inclusive of everything. Unborn awareness with unborn perceptions. So all of the perceptions of awareness are only the dynamic energy of that awareness. They're inseparable from awareness, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. There's no way to separate them out from each other. So usually when we take ourselves to be a body with awareness within it, then we think that there are other things too that can affect us. You know, not only can our body affect us, that mysterious us that we don't really know where it's located in the body or anything like that. We can never quite pin it down. But we feel there are a lot of things that can affect us. First of all, we've got this body. And this body's got all kinds of thoughts. It's got all kinds of emotions. It's got all kinds of sensations, and we, whoever that we is, can't seem to control it. You know, we can't control any of these things, the thoughts, the emotions, the sensations. So we adopt all these different strategies that are suggested to us about how to control all these different things. But you see, when we adopt all those strategies of cause and effect, we're still operating within conventional norms, because conventional norms are all based on cause and effect in time and space. So when we adopt strategies to know awareness through cause and effect, then we still remain in cause and effect. We can never know ourselves as awareness as long as we remain within cause and effect. We can know only one thing. We can know that all perceptions are within awareness, but that's all we can know within cause and effect. Without, we limit ourselves to cause and effect with that knowledge. And most of the popular books written today offer only that realization, and it's called awakening or enlightenment. But all that is within cause and effect. And it's just like, you know, you wouldn't want to drink a masala chai that had a gallon of water in it. Or you wouldn't want to drink mango juice that had a gallon of water in it. You don't want something watered down. And these popular books suggest something about awakening that's completely watered down. It's only within the realm of cause and effect. It may not be the conventional point of view, but it's still an anomaly of point of view. It may offer some relief, but it's still all within cause and effect. So it's up to us to at least know what we're capable of, what enlightenment is, and who can really help us be awareness. You know, we really have to know who can really help us with that, rather than just relying on what everybody is taking awareness to be, because there are a lot of people who have ideas about what awareness is these days. So you see, it's up to us to use our discernment and discrimination and find out who can really help us. And how do we find out who can really help us? We find out who can really help us because the evidence is all around them of people who have actually realized who they are. So it's very straightforward, in the same way that we'd be a good consumer of anything else by checking out customer satisfaction. We do exactly the same thing when it comes to awakening. And I'm sorry if I'm bursting any bubbles here, but you know, that's the way it goes. That's my job, bubble bursting. But you see, we have to talk about what we are in normal terms that everybody can understand. We've reached a point now where we're all united, global human culture, united all over the globe by transportation and communication and electronic methodologies. We're completely connected now. And so, you know, we speak a common language. So it's time to bring the whole matter of enlightenment and awakening into a common language. And not just an enlightenment or awakening that talks about perceptions being within awareness. That's like kindergarten awakening. But what awakening really is, you know, what the greatest of all awakenings, the greatest of all enlightenments that have been handed down from generation to generation. And that type of full evidence of awakening in a human being is the full evidence of the unborn in that human being. And what that means is that human being lives a life that is beyond cause and effect. They live a life that's entirely beyond cause and effect. It's not disembodied or checked out or transcended, because you see what is transcendent and what is immanent are not two. These are not two. So this is another error in perception, that there's the immanent and there's the transcendent. They're not two. They're not two. And this is the key point of non-duality. So, you know, we have to realize for ourselves that we are that which is beyond causality. And first, we know that in and as awareness. We simply know that as awareness. We know that by resting naturally as awareness without seeking anything, by just allowing the seeing, allowing the ease of each perception, the vivid wakefulness that outshines every single perception to be primary. We introduce ourselves to that directly, and we never let it go. no matter what. We can never let it go no matter how hard we try, but whether it's evident to us or not is entirely another matter. So when it's evident to us, we are master of all our perceptions. When it's fully evident to us, we're master not only of our own perceptions, but all perceptions. Everything that is included and contained within us, we're the master of all those perceptions. So that's what it means to be fully awake. And when one is master of all perceptions, then what is inseparable from that is complete benefit. Complete benefit for the whole. In other words, the warmth of wisdom and compassion are inseparable from the vast expanse of infinite space that can be likened to infinite awareness. When we live our life in that manner, the practical way that it looks is that rather than our body, speech, and mind being all wrapped up in concerns about a self, how to make a personal self or personal identity comfortable, how to fend off anyone who's trying to disrupt that comfort in any way, how to accumulate the resources to keep that personal comfort zone in place, that all of one's awareness, because that's all one is, awareness, is wrapped up in those activities. But the more we realize the ease of our own awareness, we realize that there's something quite natural about us. It's always been here, it's already accomplished, just like our awareness is. And what is so natural to us, our evident and natural state, is that we are naturally passionate and compassionate. You see, the word compassionate means with passion. We live life with passion. Not just a passion for taking care of ourselves, but a passion for service to the whole. You know, this is our natural state. This is what we're meant to be. And at this time in human history, it is essential that we realize this about ourselves, that we allow this naturally occurring compassion and wisdom that knows more that can ever be known than can ever be known by our cause and effect body, to just allow that to be the case, to simply allow that to be the case. It's not a futuristic event. The only freedom there is freedom in immediate perception. That's it. There's no other freedom. There's no other freedom. Everything is contained in everything. Omniscient timeless awareness is timeless. Past, present, and future are inseparable. They're inseparable. Everything is contained within everything. There isn't anything happening that happened in a past or a future. The past, the present, and the future are right here. To attempt to hold on to any state like the now or any kind of perception that may be taken to be what awakening is just more strategy, more futile effort. Every single perception, no matter what it is, whether it's positive, negative, neutral, whether you call it good, bad, heinous, indifferent, or absolutely pleasant, all the perceptions, no matter what they are a non-dual expanse of equalness and evenness. And the only way to realize that freedom of every single perception is to be free as every perception, to have that awareness that is already full-blown evident as every single perception. And no matter what your perceptions have been up till now, and no matter how free you have been of them or not, everyone is equal in this matter, because we're all having our next perception right now. Mm-hmm. And if we're free in that perception, we're free in and as that perception. And if we're not, we're not. Either we're sitting here right now with absolutely nothing going on, totally free as whatever perception is occurring, or we're elaborating a story about the perception that's occurring. So those are the two ways to go. The sublime choice is freedom as perception itself, as this perception that is right here.